This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Your Bibles, take those out to Genesis chapter 11. If you have the church app, go ahead and open that. That's where you'll find the message outline. Also, it's on our QR code. You can take your phone out, take your phone and get the camera going. You can do that. And then has all our announcements as well in there, so go ahead and look at that. One of the big announcements I want to make real quick is tomorrow is our summer kickoff right here on the property. We are starting to open up the world. We wanted to have people come out and just hang out. It'll be outside, so masks are totally optional. It'll be free hot dogs, free food, cornhole, all kinds of games. Just hanging out and get to see people. I saw some people the other day. Actually, Stacy and I were sitting out in front of a restaurant, and a car pulled up, and they said, "Hey, Patrick and Stacy," and we were looking at them, go, "Who are you?" Because we've never seen them without a mask, and it took us a minute to kind of figure out. So we want to kind of get beyond that. So come out to the property tomorrow between 11 and 2. There'll be all kinds of fun. We'd love to have you come out and do that. So that's tomorrow. You can get all the other announcements in there. Today is graduation Sunday, and we're excited. It's been fun to watch our graduates grow up. Some of them went to Rural Hall Elementary, so we got to see them grow up there and follow them. Some have been through the church we've seen, and just to see their next step. So we are honoring them and just really going to celebrate them today. And for those of you that graduated at some point in your life, elementary, eighth grade, high school, whatever it is, and maybe it was like a year or two ago, maybe it was a long time ago, and you don't want to tell anybody how long ago it was, I want you to think back to what graduation was like. Do you remember that time? Do you remember getting ready for it? Do you remember, like, getting your family there, or you're having to put that gown on and all the worries you had? Then you were sitting there going, how long is it going to take to read everybody's name? And then you're worried about tripping across the stage. Were anybody like that, or what are you going to say? Are you going to mess up? And then part of me, I don't know how you guys were, but part of me was, like, really, really happy because I'm done, and I can say goodbye, and I was thinking about that time. But part of me was a little bit sad because I'm going to say goodbye to my friends, and it was kind of a transition. When I grew up at the beach, all the graduating seniors would go and they would rent cottages over on the beach, right on the beach, and they would spend time. And my friends and I didn't have any money, so we rented a condo that was really a hotel room that had been converted. You know what I'm talking about? The one you walk in and go, what's that smell? You know what I'm talking about? And the carpet, you have to put your shoes on to walk on the carpet, and the air conditioning unit at the beach, you know what I'm talking about, in the wall. And it runs all the time. There's a puddle of water outside you have to walk through to get there. You know what I'm talking about? And it's just like, okay, my friends and I, we have this room. And it was just fun hanging out. It was just a lot of fun just being there, telling stories, staying up all night. We were going here and there. And then it came time for graduation. We threw everything that was all wet and nasty in the suitcase, brought it home to mom, right? And then we went and we graduated, and then we said goodbye. And I don't know how it was for you, but in my high school, people scattered. They went on vacation, some went off to work, some of them did different things. And I remember those 2 or 3 months in between as being a weird time. It was like I was done with high school, I can't go back, you can't, I'm like, you used to welcome you every day, and then you're not really welcome anymore. I mean, you are, but you're not supposed to go back. And then I wasn't ready for school, and so is that neither here nor there kind of feeling. You know what I'm talking about? When you're not quite where you need to be, but you haven't left where you're going to be, have been. And maybe you felt that before. Maybe for you, as you're at work and you're finishing up a project and your whole team's working at this project done and you're about to wrap it up, you don't know what the next project's going to be and you're kind of stuck in between. You ever been there and you're not here nor there? Or maybe you're selling your house and you don't have a new one, which is really scary. Anybody ever done that before? And like right now, if you put your house up for sale, you'll sell it in a day or two, and then you got nowhere to go, and you're going, what am I going to do? So you're not really in your old house, you're not really in your new house yet. Or if you're engaged, you know, you're kind of not like you used to be, but you're not married yet. You're in that in-between. You're neither here nor there. And it's a little unsettling. It's a little bit exciting. It's a little bit sad. And you get all those things rolling together. And for the parents, you're that neither here nor there. Some of you guys are about to become empty nesters, and you don't want to show how excited you are about that, okay? But there's also this sadness because you're getting ready to let them go, and you go, what am I doing now? That's been my whole world, and I've taken them to school, and I've done all this stuff, so I'm not here with them anymore. I'm not there yet. I'm kind of in between. And the graduates, you're in the same spot, right? You're neither here nor there. You're here because you're finishing up, but you're not where you're going to be, so it's that in-between world, and what do you do? And for every one of us, right, with COVID, aren't we in that kind of neither here nor there yet in our community, whatever? I carry a mask wherever I go because if I'm going to walk into a place, I went to a place yesterday, it said absolutely no admittance without a mask, no exceptions. It was like all these signs, and so I got to pull the mask out. And other places you go, no one's wearing a mask, and we're not quite here, we're not quite there. And what do? And how do you navigate those waters? Well, in Genesis chapter 11, we're going to kind of walk with our graduates through a chapter, a scripture, a little section. And this is what I call the meta-story, the story that all other stories lead out of. So Genesis 11 is the story of Abram and his family. And for the Muslims, they all trace back their understanding of God to this particular story, this particular person. The Jews, this is their story. This is their story. This is how they understand life. They understand what's going to happen to them. And for us that follow Jesus, this is the example that we follow. We look at Abram and go, okay, that's how he navigated these waters. This is how we navigate these waters. So Genesis 11, just to kind of give you the context, the writer of Genesis, Moses, has taken us through the kind of the life story from Noah down through Shem, his son, then son, till you get this guy named Terah. And Terah is the father of Abram. And in verse 31 and 32, this is how it's written. It says this: one day Terah took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and his grandson Lot, his son Haran's child, and moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. He was headed for the land of Canaan, but they stopped at Haran and settled there. And Terah lived for 205 years and died while he was still in Haran. So that's kind of the finishing up the chapter before we move into the next one. Here's the picture. And for parents, it's a little scary, all right? Abram's about 75, we know about this time. He's married, and he's still living with his parents, all right? So let that soak in for a minute. Can you imagine? You're getting older, and you're 75, and you're still living with your parents, and that's what Abram did. So for some of you, they might hang around for a while. We don't know, okay? But that's what he was doing, and he traveled with his dad. Abram and Sarah did travel with Terah. They left Ur, which was like the center place. It had all the necessities of life and everything better. That was the center of their world. They actually had a very systematic law that everybody copied. It was down about 200 miles southeast of Baghdad that we know now, but Babylon. It was the cultural center of the world, and it was a kingdom, an empire that lasted about 500 years, but this was the height of it. And Terah was like rich. We find out later he had a lot of stuff he passed on to Abram. So they were a prominent family. They could trace their roots back to Noah. Like we walked around and go, Noah's our great, great ancestor kind of thing. And so they were somebody. And then one day, Terah said, we're leaving, and we're leaving the great city of Ur, and we're going to Haran. Haran means caravan city. You think truck stop, all right? Think truck stop. Because that's where all the caravans went, and this is where you went when you were moving somewhere else. So they went from knowing everybody to knowing nobody, and the people around them probably came and went constantly. There's no set schedule, and there's no set thing, and people you don't really get to know, and then they move on. And that's where they went. This is kind of a transition time. And I just want you to think for a minute of the class of 2020 and 2021. This is their life, right? If you think about what they were, they entered high school, and they came in as freshmen, and they had their classes every day, and they got to know people, they got to know their teachers, they got to do their sports, all their activities, and then 2 years and a few months in, COVID hit, right? So what happened? They went from a very scheduled place where they knew everybody, everything was happening, and then they suddenly went to this Zoom world, which is like, do I get up and go to class, or I just lay in bed? I mean, I can get on my computer, I turn off my camera, nobody knows, right? Nobody knows what I'm doing. I'm on my phone. Nobody can see that. I mean, it's a whole different world. And the sports and activities are all kind of upset and moved around, right? So they went just like Abram. They probably understand Abram better than most of us because that's his world too. Moved to a place that everything's in chaos. And we need to give these guys props because here's the deal. People will remember this class, won't they? They will remember this class. I taught high school for a number of years, and I will remember students, but I don't remember when they graduate. I mean, it just kind of runs together. And I'm sure teachers all over the world do this. But not the class of 220 and 221. They'll know you. They won't forget these years. You were the group that we saw on the computer screen. And they'll have that picture in their mind and go, oh, I remember you. I remember you used to sit in your basement all the time because I could see the background. Or you used to be in bed all the time. Or you used to take me out on the porch. I remember that. And they'll remember the years that you graduated. And they'll remember what you had to go through. and the transitions you had to experience, that you were just like Abram, you're kind of uprooted and had to do different things. In Abram's life, he lived with his dad, and then his dad passed and his world opened up. If you move to chapter 12, this is the real kind of section I want to get to. 12 verse 1, it says this, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land I will show you,'" which is the core verse of Islam and of Judaism, and really for those of us who follow Jesus, this is the core thing. And I'm going to play around with your English a little bit, okay? You guys all took English, I hope, or you just know English. Notice the verb. The Lord had said to Abram. Did you ever notice that when you read it? In Acts chapter 7, they retell this story, and what they want you to know is when Abram was back in Ur, God says, "You're going to leave, and you're going to go out on your own, and I will show you the place that you're going to go." But he had to stay with his dad until they got to Haran, and when his dad died, then he goes, "I remember what God said." He didn't say it when he was in Haran, he said it back before. And for a lot of our graduates, God's maybe been speaking to you and saying, "One day you're going to do this." And for those of you kind of stuck in that, "I'm neither here nor there," you've heard God perhaps say, "You're one day you're going to do this," or "One day this is going to happen," and get ready for it. But I love what it says, "Leave your native country and go to a land I will show you." One of the most frustrating things I've ever heard. If you think about this with Abram, God says, "I want you to go to a land I will show you." And Abram probably had a question. Would you have a question? "God, where is it?" And what would God have answered? "I will show you." "Well, God, well, how will I know when I get there?" What do you think God would have answered? "I will show you." "And God, who am I going to meet when I get there?" What would God have answered? "I will show you." "Well, God, how do I know if I make a mistake and end up right wrong place?" What God would have said to you? "I will show you." I mean, isn't that the way it goes? "You go do this, and I'll show you." And that is so frustrating, because that's the life of faith, isn't it? And here's the big question. I don't know if Abram asked this, but I think he probably did. Maybe you've done this before. "God, how do I know I can trust you?" You ever done that before? "God, how do I know I can trust you? How do I know you're going to provide? How do I know you're going to actually show up, God? How do I know you're going to be there when I get there?" Because think about Abram. He grew up in Ur of the Chaldeans, right? All they knew was Adam and Eve, and all they knew was Noah, and they didn't have the Bible. They didn't have Judaism. They didn't have Christianity. They didn't have any of that. All they had were stories that they had to fall back on. And they worshiped in the land they came from, both Haran and Ur, they worshiped the moon god, not Yahweh. And now they're having to go, "Do I trust this God?" And it's the same with you guys, all of us. When we're in that neither here nor there land, the question is, can I trust God? Now, if you know me, I don't tell jokes. I am the worst joke teller ever, okay? I'm just going to warn you. I'm going to lower your expectations so bad that when I tell you this joke, you're going to laugh out of courtesy, okay? You got it? I'm going to tell you a joke. I know three jokes that I can tell. Here's one of them, all right? So, really bad. So this guy's walking in the mountains, all right? You got it? He's walking in the mountains, and what do you do in the mountains? You look up, you look at the mountains, you look at the trees, all those different things, and he's walking, look at everything like this, and he walks off a cliff. And on the way down, there's a tree sticking out, and he grabs hold of it and holds on with all his life. And while he's holding there, he goes, I can't climb up. What am I going to do? So he starts screaming for help, right? "Help, help, help me, somebody help me, help me." And nobody answers. He keeps yelling, "Help, help, help." And suddenly this voice from heaven that sounds just like James Earl Jones, right? It comes out of heaven. It says, "Let go. I'll catch you. This is God." And so the guy thinks for a minute, goes, "Well, God, what? No, I'm not going to let go and just let, you know, you're not, how are you going to catch me? Is there some other plan? Can you help me? This is God. Just let go and I'm going to catch you." "Well, God, can't you do something else? I don't really like this." "This is God. This is your last chance. Let go and I'll catch you." And the guy thought for a minute. He yells up, "Hey, is there anybody else up there that can help me?" That's the joke, okay? I told you I told it bad. But I love this joke. Why? Because don't we do that? God says, "Leave and go to a land I will show you." And God, "I don't know. I don't know if I can do that or not, God. I don't know if I can leave what I know and go on to something new. I don't know if I can leave this job and go to a different job. I don't know if I can move to that new house. I don't know if I can leave what I'm doing. God, I don't know if I can get married. It's a little scary getting married. I just don't know. Can you show me the future? Have you ever wanted God to show you the future? How is this all going to work out? And God said, I will show you. I will show you. Do you trust me? Because that's what verse 1 is all about. Leave your home, leave your family, leave everything that you know, and go to a place I will show you. And he's saying, do you trust me? And it's all future tense. Look at the verbs. Go to land, I will show you. Go to the next verse, verse 2. I will make you into a great nation. In the future, I will do this. I will bless you in the future. And I will make you famous in the future. And you will be a blessing to others in the future. Next verse, I will bless those who bless you in the future, and I will curse those who treat you with contempt in the future. All the families on earth will be blessed through you in the future. You leave now. You go now. You obey now. You trust now, and I'll do that in the future. And you're going, God, that's not right. Can't you do it where you do these things first, and I know I can trust you? No, that's not what faith is about. You go, and I will bless you. I'm going to take a little side trail just for a second. Is that okay? Can you guys like follow me? And I'm going to leave that kind of idea just for a second. What did God say he was going to do when they got there? He was going to bless them, right? And then he said, you're going to be a blessing to others. For most of us, we get so entrapped or so focused on our trail, right? God, make this path work for me. Where's this path leading me? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me when I get there? Who's going to help me? Who's going to take care of me? Who's going to show me what class to take? Who's going to show me what job to do? Who's going to show me what house to buy? Make my life work, Father. And then Abram's told, you will be a blessing to the people you're going to go see. Most of us don't think that way, right? Most of us think, how are you going to take care of me? And God said, you're going to go bless everybody. You're going to go, and when you show up where you're going to be, you're going to be good. You're going to be light. You're going to make their lives better. They're going to be glad you showed up. You're going to make a difference. And not only that, Abram, but in the future, all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Now, we know, because we have the foresight to look backwards, right? We know that meant Jesus. Jesus will come from you. The Savior of the world is going to come from you, and every family of the world is going to be blessed, and every family of the world is going to have a chance for salvation, and it's going to happen starting now, but it won't show up till the future. Are you good with that, Abram? Obey me, and this is what's going to happen. The Savior of the world is going to come through you. What an exciting thing. But to begin to think, God's got me where he has me because he wants to bless someone else, and he wants to use you to bless other people. Why are you at your work? It's not just to make money. Because you are still the spiritual heirs of Abram. I don't think I share any DNA with Abram, not any physical DNA, but he's my spiritual father, right? If you're a follower of Jesus, you go back to Abram. And that blessing still comes through your spiritual DNA. You're still called to be a blessing. So you show up at the place. God brought me here. I don't know why, but I'm here to bless. I'm here to bless. I'm here to share Jesus. One of the cool things that's happened here at Bridges the last couple of months is we had a student come from the UNC School of the Arts. You know, it's just on the south side of the town. And he came to service once. He showed up to a small group on Zoom twice. And I got to hear his story. He moved here from Kentucky, didn't know a soul at the School of the Arts, came here to study film. And he told me there's no Christians at the UNC School of the Arts. So if there's anybody watching, I'm sure there are. There's always a remnant. But he came there and he goes, I don't see it happening. I don't have any fellowship. I don't have anybody to hang out with. And so we talked a little bit back and forth, and I said, are you interested at all in starting a Bible study for non-believers here at the school? And he goes, yeah. I said, well, I've got a connection to the University Christian Fellowship. I'm going to connect you guys. Is that okay? And he said, yeah. So that connection turned out to be a person who works for university. They're here at Wake Forest campus, and nobody's at UNC School of the Arts, but this person kind of oversees that. So they connected, and they began to talk, and he got trained. And this person that trained him contacted me this week and said, this student has the gift of evangelism. And they're really good at sharing Jesus. And the last few weeks, they've had 3 evangelistic conversations with people on the campus. It's like they're planting a seed. Isn't that cool? I mean, in his mind, he came down here to get schooling to become a filmmaker, and I think God still has him on that track. But what he didn't know is that God had him there to share Jesus. You ever thought about that? I mean, it's not just students. It's really cool that God does that. A couple of weeks ago, we had a couple of students here that came back that they were visiting, and it was cool. And I'd heard they were in a girls' Bible study called Delight, and they came in the door, and I said, I heard you're doing that. And they go, yeah. And one of them said, I'm going to lead a group next year. I thought, oh, cool. And I told them, I didn't know you were going to be here, so it's going to make me cry. You guys made me cry. So that's cool, because you guys graduated last year, right? You didn't get your graduation. But God's working through you. And I thought, how cool. They have gone to school, and they probably had no idea what God was going to do, but now they're going to pour their lives. They're pouring their lives into other students, and they're blessing them. That's all part of Abram's story. It's all part of Jesus' story, that we are brought here to be a blessing, and they're carrying that on. And none of them had any idea, I'm going to school to study. How many of us thought, I'm going to school to impact this campus for God's kingdom? And I'm living Abram's life. It's being lived out in my spiritual DNA. Whole different way of looking. And if we had said to God, wow, what's going to happen when I get there? What would God have said? I will show you. I will show you. But you're not going to find out in advance. You're going to have to trust me every single day. Go back to the story, next verse. What did Abram do? It says next verse, so Abram departed as the Lord instructed. That's a simple way of saying he just left. He just left. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. And it continues, he took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth. He was rich, and then his livestock and all the people he had taken in the household of Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan. And when they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled throughout the land as far as Shechem. And then he set up a camp beside the Oak of Moreh, and in that time, the area was inhabited by the Canaanites. 450 miles of travel is explained in one thing. He left. He left. And he did what God had asked him to do, and he took everyone with him. I think it's interesting. He's 75, and you know, people at 75 are all different. I like to wonder if Abram at 75 had a walker. You know, and he's in Haran, he's got his walker, maybe not, I don't know, it's just my idea. And he's walking like this, you know, he's going through, and people say, hey, where are you going? I don't know. How are you going to know when you get there? God will show me. Next person, he's walking along. Well, how are you going to make a living when you get down there? I don't know, but God will show me. Well, what are you going to do? How's this going to work? What about your kids? You don't have any kids. How are you going to get kids? I mean, what's this going to happen? I don't know, but God will show me. We did something to the graduates I don't think is exactly fair, but we did it to you anyway. I apologize to the guys that came up here. And we do it all the time. You're getting ready to graduate. We're going, what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with your life? And they're going, well, I'm going to this school, and I'm going to study this and become that. At 18, I was going to be a doctor. At 22, I was going to write screenplays. At 30, I was a school teacher. It wasn't until I was in my 40s, I go, God said, this is what you're going to do. It's like, I'm on this journey. So if you're 50 and you still don't know what you're going to do, that's okay, all right? It's okay. How many guys that went to school or studied something are doing exactly what you studied to do in college? Okay, more than normal. It's like five of you. How many are doing something totally different when you left high school than what you thought you were going to do? And how many are doing something else when you left high school? Most of you, okay? Isn't that the truth? So here's an answer for you graduates. Somebody comes up and goes, what are you going to do in life? I don't know, but God will show me. You know, where are you going to go to school? I think God's called me to this school. What are you going to do? I think I'm going to study this. I'm going to try it out, but then God's going to show me. I think I'm going to do this, but I don't know for sure. God's going to show me. Wouldn't that be a great answer? Because you're telling people this is the way we really live. We're always between here and there, and we're always saying, God, what's next? And we're always saying, God, you got to show me. You got to just trust God to do that. You know, I think this happened for most of you at Roll Hall Elementary. I know Micah did this. At some point, you went to Linville Caverns. Did you guys go to Linville Caverns as kids, graduates? No? You guys didn't go? Have you ever been? How many guys have been to Linville Caverns? Most of you, all right? You guys haven't been? All right, this is your homework, all right? Tomorrow's Memorial Day. If you don't have any plans, you can't come here. Go to Linville Caverns. You got to do this. This is what you have to do. You go, as a little kid, I went. You go in this beautiful cave, there's stalactites, stalagmites, I don't know which one's which, and you get in there and there's a guide, right? And the guide takes you deep into the caverns, you walk and they tell you all this stuff, and you get to this room, I'm gonna call it a room. It's this really narrow area, and there's a grate on the floor, and you can hear water down there, and they get you in this room and they turn the light out. And it's the darkest dark you've ever seen in your whole life. And you put your hand up in front of your face and you can't see it. You ever been in there or anywhere like that? And so your eyes shut down, and you can't tell if anybody's around you or not, and you can't tell if there's any walls or not, and it's kind of strange. And you're in there, and then you're like so tuned to what you can hear. You know what I mean? You're so in tune to what you hear, and the guide talks, and you listen to the water, and your ears get attuned to the guide. I mean, that's all you know, because you don't know anything else. You get so attuned to the guide, you just ignore everything else. And then the lights come on, and you can see, and it just looks so different than what you thought. And here's what happens. You learn to listen in the dark, right? You learn to listen when you don't have anything else feeding your brain. And I think that's exactly what happens when you're neither here nor there. God's using that time when you're not sure what's going to happen. He said, look, I want to speak to you. And you have so many distractions around you, you can't hear, so I'm going to kind of get you in a spot where all you want to do is hear. If I had to narrow this thing down to one point, here's my one point. When you're neither here nor there, it's the perfect time to learn to walk by faith because you don't have any choice, right? When you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, you don't know where a relationship is going, you don't know where your career is going, you don't know what's happening in your family, it's the perfect time to learn by walk by faith because God's the one you can trust through everything. And he uses those times to say, trust me, trust me. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this, for we live by believing and not by seeing. We want a plan, right? Give me the plan, God. What's going to happen when I get to school? Who's going to be my roommate? Who's going to take care of me? What am I going to major? What classes? How am I going to pay my bills? Where am I going to find this new house? What's the next project? What's the next relationship? And the scriptures tell us as we follow Jesus, we live by believing, by trusting, by faith, and not by seeing. And that's exactly what it means to live neither here nor there. It's to live with Jesus. In verse 7, kind of wrap up Abram's story. After he got to Canaan, notice the word then. Then the Lord appeared to Abram. When Abram spent 450 miles traveling from Haran to Canaan, and he got to the place he was supposed to be. When he obeyed him fully, God appeared. And he said, I will give this land to your descendants. This is it. Now you can see. Open your eyes. And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. I love that. When we show up and we do what God's asked us to do and we arrive, he shows himself. And he says, this is exactly what I was doing, but I couldn't tell you till you got there. Isn't that cool? So what did Abram do? He built an altar. And what's an altar? An altar is simply this. It's a place where you dedicate yourself. It's a place of the covenant, place of the promise. And so he built an altar and says, God, you kept the promise. You brought me here. Now I dedicate not only this altar, but I dedicate my life to you. And that's exactly what Abram tried to do. From then on, that's why he's the father of faith. He said, I'm going to trust you, God. And that's what the altar is all about. And in many ways, that's what today is all about, right? The dedication of our graduates, the dedication of ourselves to say, we are dedicated to you, Lord, even when we can't see, even when we don't know what's around the bend, even though we don't know who we're going to meet, even though we don't know what you're going to do, how you're going to provide, we're just going to go, and you're going to show up. My favorite verse in the Bible is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's the one I always share at times like this. It's my life verse. It's such a simple verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't try to figure it out, right, with your own understanding. In all your ways, submit, dedicate, acknowledge. There's said in different ways. But basically, sacrifice yourself to him. Dedicate yourself to him. And what will he do? He will make your path straight. But you got to trust him first. And then he'll lay the pathway out in front of you. And he'll show you what's happening. I'll close with two stories about my own life. I had that time kind of in between. It was a neither here nor there. I went off to Carolina. You can boo me about that. That's okay. We can take it. It was kind of Tar Heels, right? So I went. I didn't know anybody in my dorm. my roommate, you know, you gotta, if you don't know your roommate, you're like, are they a serial killer? What's this gonna be about? I'm gonna spend the night with this person. I don't even know who they are. And my roommate, if you're out there, man, yeah, I haven't seen him in a long time. We didn't hit it off real well. But the guy across the hall was a guy named Jim Baylor. I got a chance to meet him. He's a Christ follower. Really cool guy, got to hang out. And for the next 3 years, we became roommates. We kept trading off different people, but Jim and I were roommates. He got married right after college to his kind of sweetheart, Carolyn, and they moved to California, and that's how I ended up in California. I followed them. I actually lived with them for a while. That's one of the stories we told. We met a couple of months ago, and I actually lived in their house. I was that person. Like, there's a newlywed couple and Patrick sleeping on the sofa. I got an apartment as quick as I could, and it was just so cool, and they kept saying, you need to meet this girl, you need to meet this girl, and never did. They finally moved back. Next month after they left, I met Stacy, who's my wife. They set that up. It's kind of cool. God has that kind of influence. And we got together for dinner a couple of months ago in Salisbury. They live in Charlotte now. And I said, what are you guys doing? And he's an executive with this company, doing really well. And he said, yeah, he's helping a church plant. And he and Carolyn have adopted the pastor of this church plant and their kids. And they're just hanging out, helping him walk through planting a church. And he is blessing. And God is blessing through him. And they're telling people about Jesus. And they're making a difference in people's lives. So how cool is that? After so many years, God is doing that. That was just a great thing to experience. And then last story, just as God moves, last month I went to a pastor's conference down in Ashboro. Jacob and I drove down. We're in this room of pastors, which is a horrible place to be. Pastors are the worst. You need to know that. So we're at these tables, right? This pastor's group, we're sitting at these learning tables. We're watching these videos, and they told us to move. And I'm an introvert. I hate this, all right? You know what I mean? You're with your comfortable friends, and they say, move to a table you don't know anybody. It's like, well, can I just sit here and nobody will know? You ever done that before? I moved. Sure, I did. I've been here the whole time. But I moved to this table, and there's an empty chair. And so somebody's going to sit down, I don't know. And they sit down, and it had a name tag. It was Marty Dupree. And I looked at him, I go, Marty Dupree, Granville Towers West, 1982. And he looked at my name tag as, I don't know who you are, but I recognize the name. I'm just that kind of person. Nobody knows me. That's okay. And so I said, Marty, what has God been doing you? Because he lived on my floor. And we always figured he'd be governor or president by now because he just collected names and people. He wrote in a book. No lie. He wrote everybody he met his name in a book. So graduates, this might be what you want to do. You go and you write everybody's name in a book or put it on your phone. This is what Marty did. I said, what have you been doing? He goes, I'm the evangelism guy for the Southern Baptist in the state of North Carolina. That's what I did for a long time. And he's coaching baseball over near Raleigh. And he's impacting students' lives. And now he works for his church. The new job is director of ministry. And he travels around going to different restaurants. And he has these tracts with the gospel. And he just shares Jesus. And I haven't seen the guy since 1982. That'll date me, okay? I don't think I've seen him since. But it was so cool to go, your story is Abram's story. You're still carrying through what God's doing in the world. And you're blessing. And you're sharing the gospel. And God brought him there, and God brought me there, and God brought Jim Baylor and all those people. And we never would have known what God had in store. And I would say that to our graduates today. God has a plan. He's working. It's to bless the world through you. And you don't know what's going to happen when you get there, but God does. He says, just trust me, and I'll show you. And everybody in here that's in kind of that transition, you're neither here nor there, you're still working through that, it's the same deal. I will trust you. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to the families of the world. Let's pray together. Father God, I just thank you for our graduates, the ones in the room, the ones in Pittsburgh on the phone, the ones watching online right now. And we just dedicate them to you. We turn them over to you, and we don't know what's going to happen. None of us know what's going to happen, but you do, and you have a plan. And I pray that during this time, their faith in you just grows. And their ears are wide open at every step. Like, Father, where do I go? Who do I talk to? And at every step, you open doors for them. And you just show them how faithful you are. And Father, for anyone in the room today that's just kind of like neither here nor there, they're in between. Whether it's a job or relationships, something that's there that's not quite there. I just pray you'll increase their faith to trust you and to see that you are working. Father, bless us so that we can be a blessing. May we carry the message of Jesus Christ all around the world because in him we have hope, and hope gives life. Thank you for moving throughout this world. Even when we don't see you, we know you're working. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.